What's up, guys? It's been way too long, but we're back at it finally, closing out the season with a bang and talking about the upcoming resolutions. Stay tuned. It's going to be a good one.
To our podcast, Corona Ridden America, I am so excited to finally be popping up one last concluding episode entitled How We Think the Resolution for STOA Team Policy Debate 2021 Should Be Ran. I'm here. My name is Steven DeLoglis. I'm here with my buddy Christian and Elijah.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
That was a fire. We were supposed to say hi. Yeah, good start all around. So basically, as I was saying, today's podcast, we're all graduated from debate. I'm super sad, except for Elijah. So Elijah's still going to be out here next year. People watch out. He's going to be winning. So you better be scared. Anyways, so we thought it'd still be a good conclusion to talk about the three resolution proposals and give some general feedback that we're thinking, our thoughts behind it, and which resolution we ultimately think y'all should choose, because you know our ideas are better than yours. So starting with, let's say, Elijah. Resolution one, United States federal government should considerably decrease its military commitment. What are you feeling on this?
Fixed it.
Whoa. That was something. Are we going one by one with our opinions?
Yeah, maybe a little sporadic, but in general, one by one.
I have one thought, if we can.
Yeah.
Let's do this where let's each list good, bad, and ugly in that order, how we think the resolutions are, and then let's get into the discussion.
Okay, good idea. Good idea.
Starting with Elijah.
All right, I'll start with my good. That's the title for this episode: the good, the bad, and the ugly. And each of us has our own opinion on each resolution. But for me, the good, which for me, good means not great, but okay. The good is the U.S. federal government should substantially reform one or more of the laws administered by the Department of Labor. The bad is the U.S. federal government should considerably decrease its military commitments. And the ugly, for me, is resolved that a comprehensive program of penal reform should be adopted throughout the United States.
Okay, I feel that. Christian, what are you thinking?
Sorry, it's just Corona over here. I don't have it, by the way. I'm not sick. Anyway, so for me, the good in this is probably res number two, that the United States federal government should substantially reform one or more of the laws. I can't quite read that on here. Laws administered by the Department of Labor. The bad for me would be, and I will say, again, that's good, but definitely not great. The bad would be number three for me, that the penal reform resolution. And then the ugly for me would be the first option, which is the decrease its military commitments.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm actually pretty optimistic about these resolutions, not going to lie. I would say my good would probably be resolution three, that the penal reform. I just think that could be so much fun and get really kind of more passionate debates instead of such like just legal code, and really get into like what punishments should be. My bad would probably be, it's weird to rate them bad and ugly, but I would say my bad would be resolution one. The United States federal government should considerably decrease military commitment. I just think that's a miserable resolution. And then I rated this one ugly, the resolution two, the reforming Department of Labor, because I think it's promising and I think it's a like big resolution. I just also think it's going to get ugly with like how many small squirrel cases can pop out of that. But that's how I would rate it as a whole. So.
Very cool. Okay. Let's start with just in the order that they're provided from STOA. And let's actually, we can just take turns doing this. We can each pick one. I'll grab the first one. We can read through the resolutions and read through their STOA description so that we can sort of get some context for what the board intended with these. So the first resolution is, of course, the USFG should considerably decrease its military commitments. And they write, whether in war or peace, the United States has made military commitments at home and abroad since the 1798 naval war in France, the Barbary Wars of the early 1800s, Korea, Vietnam, and more recently, Iraq, Afghanistan, the Middle East, Saudi Arabia, and the list goes on. Many Americans would like to see our troops come home. So is it time to decrease our military commitments? This unidirectional resolution affirms that we should not only decrease our military commitments, but do so considerably. We see a vast variety of case possibilities concerning troops, certain military operations, contracts, and treaties that should keep the AF arsenal well-equipped for the year. The negative has ground in keeping things the same due to major disadvantages with a decreased commitment. They'll also gain an easier use of the counter plan through increasing military commitments. In any case, this resolution should prove to be a great battleground of ideas.
Ha 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 ha. So fun. So punny.
Oh, I see what they did there.
Can I just say, I hate the puns throughout all of these descriptions. I don't remember them doing this in the past, but this is abusive of the students. How many
are you writing? How
bad the puns are. Anyway.
So this resolution, I see where they were going with it. And not going to lie, like, if this is a one chosen, God forbid, I can see how we'd still get stuff out of it. I just think that it's so narrow and so uncreative that it kind of hurts. Although, like, there are perks, I guess, that I feel like the information throughout the year would be pretty recent and pretty updated considering how active the Trump administration has been with just military regulations as a whole. Maybe not per se, like, decreasing military commitment. If anything, they've definitely been increasing it. But I feel like there'd just be a lot of stuff to come with that. And I also am feeling if this resolution would be the place, every single negative team would throw out a disadvantage about how one way or another decreasing military commitment led to ISIS. And if we do this, it'll lead to the whole world being destroyed in a nuclear war. It's like one of those years.
That doesn't sound fun.
But I just don't think it is that good at all. So that's just my thoughts. What about y'all?
I called this. This was out of my good, ugly, and bad. This was my bad. I think it's really too small. Because it's considerably decreased instead of like reform or change as it is usually. It forces the affirmative to be anti-war and the negative to be pro-war. I mean, not exactly, but you get the idea. There's only one type of case you can run. And I just don't like that. Like, what if we should increase our military commitment somewhere?
Right.
What's wrong with that? Is it, has STOA decided that the only reasonable case would be to decrease it? That's what it seems like to me.
I will say on that note, it seems to me, not just with this resolution, but a lot of them this year, or all three of them, I should say, I haven't looked at the other events. These three resolutions all seem to have a very slight left-wing slant to all of them. The first one dealing with war and military commitments is sort of blatantly anti-war, anti-military involvement. The second one dealing with the Department of Labor, and we'll get into that in a sec, the wording of the description is very optimistic and sort of utopian towards the idea of the government regulating labor. It's super pro-government in that. And then the third resolution dealing with penal reform is a very popular topic on the left. And all these seem to come from a very very biased worldview. Not necessarily bad, but very one-sided, I'll say.
Interesting. For sure. Although with the first resolution, military right now does have, the U.S. military have presence in 150 countries worldwide. Yeah. And so that is potentially like a lot, 150 cases at least. But like Elijah was saying, you're required to just write a case where you're somehow decreasing the military presence. So it doesn't give you, maybe the cases per se aren't narrow because there are broad choices, like, you know, 150 countries you can choose from. But the, I don't know, strategy behind the case is literally limited to one thing.
Same basic idea for everyone.
Yeah. So that means like generic briefs, like hallelujah. Maybe fly in.
I don't know. I don't think hallelujah is a word I would use there. But yeah, lots of generic briefs.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know if you had any other thoughts on there. I think y'all have already hammered out most of it, but I don't know. Whenever I heard the military resolution, my summary for it, or my kind of thought, was that either the STOA board is super anti-war, or alternatively, they're just a bunch of West Coast libertarians, or we could say hippies, but we'll be gracious. We won't say they're hippies. I'm sure there's lots of smart people in there, but
libertarians do not like the Department of Labor. I'm just going to say that out loud.
That is true. Okay, they're probably more in the opposite realm of things, but who knows? I don't know. I agree with you guys. I don't like this resolution, but I just think it's the worst, and mainly because I don't like the idea that the only way we can approach it is it has to be decreased. Not only does that eliminate the possibility of increased military operations in certain places, but it makes it so that moving around, or maybe changing the way, doing anything other than considerably decreasing, anything other than just considerably decreasing, is immediately ruled out.
It's not even just decrease, it's considerably decrease.
Because you can change. I don't know if there's a great example, because I guess it would technically count as either increase or decrease one way or the other. But there are smaller changes you can make in foreign policy, I feel like, than simply considerably increasing or considerably decreasing.
Like moving soldiers from one region to another. That wouldn't be increasing or decreasing.
And that would be a very valid case idea, I feel like. There's plenty of debate around whether or not you should move soldiers. I mean, they do this in the Oval Office all the time, I would assume. Or in the National Security Council, debating troop movements and things like that. And even one case that was way back from trade year, taking something like the F-22 or advanced fighter jets or weapons and selling those or moving those between our U.S. military bases and other countries, that would be a serious policy move, but it wouldn't necessarily count as a considerable decrease or increase in terms of military commitments.
Mm-hmm, so you're right.
All of that would be eliminated from this topic, and it's just so, so based on the premise that we are bloated in our worldwide reach. And I think there's definitely a case for that, but I would just like to see more bilateral debate and not just one-sided stuff. But that's all I got.
Yeah, it's almost like values debate to a degree, where it's just everything's coming from one side to the other side. Yeah, every round.
The topic is not narrow, but the ideas are.
Yeah, the behind stance. Perfect. What about resolution 2? The United States federal government should substantially reform one or more of the laws administered by the Department of Labor. Also, can we just think about how weird it'll be to be up there and say DOL? I feel like eventually that's going to roll off of our tongue so fast.
Or it'll be pretty cool. The DOL. Which it sort of is. Like, it's government assurances, but...
But it's something cool to say, like, the DOD or, like, the DOT, but it's, like, DOL. It's, like, I don't know, your tongue's in the same spot in your mouth, so it just, like, flows out.
It kind of, like, is the tongue equivalent of spraining your ankle every time you have to.
Facts. All right, Elijah, resolution 2, thoughts?
All right, are we going to read it out loud, or?
Let's read the description so we can provide context.
Okay, do it.
Me? All right. The issue of labor has been in the mix for a membership vote before, but has always fallen short of winning. I wonder why. This resolution continues to be very relevant for every STOA competitor who plans to get a job or start a business. It can even determine what degree you will want in college, or even if you will want to go to college. Is this the year that this resolution will be argued in STOA? It could be a banner year
for
this topic, with COVID-19 causing considerable harm to employment and the economy. Would a reform of labor laws help the recovery? There exists a plethora of case ideas that will keep the AF open for business all year. The NEG will find plenty of ground, too, in their attempt to keep the AF from closing the deal. It's a big topic that will take work and will employ great debate strategies on either side. You saw what they did there?
Okay, not gonna lie, I'm not like necessarily against this as much as y'all are. I think one perked it is kind of like what they're hinting at the end of their description there, that a lot of it will literally just be how good of debaters you are in the round.
That's true.
Versus like how sneaky or how intimidating your case is, like a lot of resolutions have been. That this one would literally just be like, how well can you get inside of there with your case that everyone in the whole nation is probably running and actually hold up your position and debate, not just like sneak around.
That is a really good point.
So this seems to me to be one of those filler cases. When I see, like, you know, every year they give you the three options. Yep. There's two that are kind of obviously less good than the one that everybody likes. And everybody picks the one that everybody likes. But this seems like one that nobody wanted. Not because it's terrible, but just because it's below average. And it doesn't like... Yay, we're going to debate about the Department of Labor. Awesome. Like, nobody says that.
Yeah. However, the Department of Labor is pretty, pretty husky. As a total fun fact, there's 28 sub-administrations under the banner of the Department of Labor. And those 28 sub-administrations borderline regulate the entire economy. The report that they release every year with the job report and what they've been doing to promote job growth and little obstacles like that really, really, in the end of the day, affect the economy as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not necessarily, like, even based on minimum wage or, like, I don't know. I'm not sure where y'all work, but where I work, there's, like, a bunch of signs hung on the wall where it's, like, in 19 this and that, the minimum wage was raised from this to that, and you're legally required to have workers' comp, and I don't know. It's just broader.
Yeah, and stuff with, like, the Fair Labor Standards Act. And
yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. So, I really like how you point out, Stephen, that this maybe isn't the topic that I would love to debate as much, but I think it is a topic that maybe, at the very least, for arguing, like, devil's advocate and stuff, it makes you a better debater, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I find the description not only cheesy with all the terrible puns, but slightly annoying in that it's very clear from the get-go the side that the person writing this description is on. They don't really get into any detail about what you would actually be debating, but they sort of imply from their description that debating this and somehow regulating stuff more could make things better. And that does raise an interesting question, which I want to ask you guys in a sec, where they said it could be a banner year for this topic, with COVID-19 causing considerable harm to employment and the economy. And then they ask, would a reform of labor laws help the recovery? I want to ask you guys your thoughts on this. I'm going to go ahead and say no. I don't think there's any law you could reform that could magically make labor better to the extent that people are already doing, given that people are already basically doing the best they can with COVID-19 and, like, protective equipment and stuff. What do you guys think? Do you have a different twist on that?
Well, where's an example of somebody changing the labor laws massively to try to help with the crisis? Franklin D. Roosevelt. And he, instead of ending the Great Depression, partly through that and a bunch of other crappy policies, he extended it by 7 years.
True.
The laws that the DOL put out and other such things that he did made the business climate really bad. So,
yeah. I mean, do think, though, that there's a beauty to the writer saying that, right? So, like, as far as I'm aware, this is the first pandemic that any modern society our size has really gone through and with our same standards. And so the optimism, kind of going back to what Christian and I were talking about, where it really comes down to how good you can defend your topic. Again, this is another layer. We're like in an unknown time right now with unknown standards. So can some wonky Department of Labor policy fix things and help unemployment? Realistically, probably not. However, debate, y'all might notice a lot of unrealistic things can be defended and uplifted. And so I could easily see some nuanced study from UNAIM University publishing that this does help, and a couple of good debaters really going home with it, and really defending that some Department of Labor regulation or dropping minimum wage to allow small businesses to stay in place or this or that could help it as a whole. I don't know, the more we talk about it, the more I like this resolution.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the lesser of three evils.
Oh, wow.
That's why I called it good.
Yeah.
It's not great, but it's good. As opposed to bad or ugly.
Like, I agree.
In a perfect world, I would just want to do this year's topic the next year because it's already so broad and they cut off the year. So I think a NITOC with – I really wanted to see a NITOC with this resolution that we had this year.
Mm. Interesting.
That could have been interesting. I don't know. I will say one of the things that made me optimistic about this resolution before I read the flowery description of it was that debating labor laws and debating all the regulations around businesses could be interesting because it is something that certainly affects all of us at some point or another. And so it's very real for all of us. Maybe not in this moment. For you, Stephen, it probably is because you have a job that is not like cutting grass. But it's like actually the workplace. but, you know, for all of us, it's going to affect us. And I don't know. I think it's good to be aware of that and to understand how those things have implications. I'm not a fan of it, but.
Yeah. I got you.
It could be interesting.
No, for sure.
I don't love it. It's not the worst, but I don't love it.
I feel that. All right. Resolution tres. Fun fact, you know, dres is three in Spanish, but tres is three in Romanian. It's like you take out an accent. Anyways, resolution number three. That a comprehensive program of penal reform should be adopted throughout the United States. Man, I love this resolution. The description that Stella gave it. Res 3. Criminal justice reform has been a topic in several other debate leagues over the past few years with what appears to be quite positive results. The resolution committee wanted this topic to be in the mix, but did not feel shackled to this league's wording. There are a few key issues that will help you unlock this unique topic. Please take notice several points of resolution analysis. First, there is no specific actor. This appears to open the door for unlimited possibilities. However, also notice that the program needs to be adopted throughout the United States. Secondly, this needs to be a comprehensive program which indicates something substantial. Affirmatives should not feel conformed to reforming current laws, but can have the freedom to develop a new program or bring back an old one. In any case, this should be an can't believe I'm reading this. This should be an arresting topic to debate.
Oh my.
Yeah,
I hate
oh
puns.
My.
Okay.
I feel shackled.
Those are pretty bad.
Puns.
I definitely they made me laugh though.
I would really
I
like
cannot say how much I absolutely love that this resolution isn't just limited to the United States federal government. Like, that is – I so wish I was debating this year and this was
a That is a lot of fun.
Yeah, that is really smart because most prisoners are in state prisons.
Facts.
So there isn't really a way to get around it.
Yeah. I think I might head this one off because I'm kind of excited. So I rated this one my good, I think. I don't even really remember. And as a whole, I think that this would be so much fun to debate. So I think you'd be getting to a lot of pathos with your argumentation style. There's a lot more emotional appeal, and I think that could make it a lot of fun as a whole. And so with this, immediately when I read this and Christian and I were talking, I was like, dude, if we were debating this year, hands down running a case to reform capital punishment of a sort. And just things like that. There's a lot of legal issues currently in the U.S., and the issue with that is the whole judicial system is so massive and so complicated that realistically in Congress, it's I'm going to make a statement that it's close to impossible to really reform the legal system these days and the judicial system as a whole, especially when it comes to legal punishment, where I think debate could make it really fun because it's on a smaller scale and we can really get things done. And you have a lot of messy things to reform.
I actually disagree with that quite a bit, which is, you know, typical because Steve and I clash on points all the time. So I think, you know, during this whole COVID pandemic, you've seen mayors of cities, even in my city, which is ridiculous, but especially cities like New York and Los Angeles, you've seen mayors literally letting child rapists out on the street because they could catch the Wu flu. And so I think the idea that it's impossible to change how we reform penal code dealing with, you know, and I want to be I do want to emphasize that there's a little bit of vagueness, and I think that's intentional with the term penal reform, because it seems to me, and I'm not sure if I understand it correctly, but it seems as though that could include not just the laws regarding crimes, that could also deal with particularly like things like minimum sentencing for certain crimes and how your punishment is carried out. Which is kind of open-ended. It could affect a lot of things. So, you know, whenever we see people moving so much towards decriminalizing things on a pretty large basis, be that for drugs, be that for just letting people out early, some people, granted, on the fringes, even advocating giving the right to vote back to felons while they're in jail, I think there's lots of potential for change. I just think it's how much do we want to open up that can of worms and where do we want to take it? Now, on an actual policy note for cases, it could be an interesting topic. I think you're going to see a lot of stuff targeted at reducing criminal penalties for minorities that have been adversely affected by laws, like, for example, where drugs more commonly used in the Black community have really high minimum sentences compared to nearly identical drugs that are more commonly used by wealthy white people. That is going to be a very common topic, I think. So I like it. I think it would be a lot of fun to debate in all actuality because it's a very emotional topic. And that just breaks from the monotony of talking about currency and monetary policy and stuff that we've dealt with this year. I don't know. It could be fun. I also think it could deal with a lot of political correctness, which I don't like as much because you are dealing with things like minorities being disproportionately affected and possible arguments about injustices and that, which are a little bit challenging to debate due to their nature. But what do you guys think?
Yeah. I don't think we disagreed on anything, actually.
So I have a few caveats on this resolution. If it weren't for a few things, which I'll outline in a second, I would have the enthusiasm of Steven. However, there's a big problem in how it's worded. It's resolved that a comprehensive program of penal reform should be adopted throughout the United States. This means that the affirmative has to propose a comprehensive program of penal reform. Penal reform is a great topic. I can think of tons of cases I would personally want to run. However, comprehensive, coming from Merriam-Webster, means covering completely or broadly. What this means is that a plan proposed by the affirmative must cover completely or broadly over penal reform. Essentially, you have to make a Dodd-Frank size case for it even be topical. This is much harder to argue for as opposed to substantial, which can be taken several different ways. That's what I would really have liked if they just put in a substantial program of penal reform or something. But now instead they have a comprehensive...
Corona.
Sorry, choked.
Stowe writes that that this needs to be a comprehensive program, which indicates something substantial. But comprehensive and substantial are two different words with two different meanings. Basically, if this resolution passed, I think that the NEG could run a strong topicality nearly every round, because very few cases would be able to cover completely over something as large and as complicated as the penal system.
Are you right?
Furthermore, if you actually managed to make such an overarching case, there would be many problems when arguing solvency. For example, this year, when anyone ran anything Dodd-Frank, there was so much negative material as far as vagueness and lack of solvency because Dodd-Frank is freaking huge. A 1 hour and 15-minute debate simply can't go over all the intricacies of such a complicated policy. And because of that, it's going to be a lot harder on the affirmative. I really wish they'd just done substantial. Those are not exact.
Yeah. Yeah, you're totally right. I didn't catch that when I first read it.
So I think that opens...
I
love the topic. I just...
Yeah.
Their wording sucks.
Yeah, so let's even just say that I definitely feel like Christian and I, if we were debating, could confidently defend keeping this on, like, a federal penal reform on, like, the federal level. But even in that, kind of like what Christian and I were both saying, there's currently so much that we can change in the judicial system that I still feel like there's a hefty amount of cases.
So on those two points of vagueness, the one dealing with a comprehensive program and the part dealing with adopted throughout the United States, that raises an interesting question for us. What do you guys think about the potential for, because STOA wants to be unique and not copycat other people's wording, so they have to be their own thing, what do you guys think about whether or not changing court rulings dealing with, I don't know, criminal precedent in court proceedings or something like that, maybe the burden of proof or standards for evidence, things like that, do you think that could be included in this resolution, or do you think that would be excluded from the topic of penal reform because this requires that it is a comprehensive program?
So
you definitely cut out there.
I mean, you're asking about a specific policy and if it would be comprehensive. The thing about the wording comprehensive is that it has to be overarching and covering completely or broadly. So if you threw that under the umbrella with like 10 other policies, then I would say it would be comprehensive, like where it could affect everything. But the wording of this makes it so that anything you do has to be massive. So I don't know. Like, I think if it was a substantial program of penal reform, I think sure that would work. Like changing court rulings, because they did say there's no specified actor.
Right.
So you can go to the states, the courts, the federal government, anywhere you want.
But it has to affect the entire United States, basically.
It has to be Dodd-Frank size.
Oh, facts. But like the definition of penal reform is the attempt to improve the system of legal punishment by Cambridge. And as a whole, I could definitely see how a debate case could be shaped around maybe reforming or overturning a Supreme Court ruling on some legal punishment. And even that, even though it's a tiny little thing that a tiny debate case could argue, would be arguably overarching.
So I think that's one thing I was kind of getting at, and I think it's a really interesting idea if you could debate that, overturning like Supreme Court cases. But that does still leave the issue of comprehensive program. And that really makes me wonder, you know, what is the bare minimum for being a comprehensive program? Because to me, first of all, on one hand, that sounds like a big government 1,000-page bill and nobody ever reads and knows what's in it. In which case, how do you even have an effective debate over that? Like, that doesn't that defeat the point of debate a little bit and kind of focus instead on the number of the quality of an idea relating to being tied to the bigness of the bill that it's in, kind of like a lot of the packages we've seen coming out of the Democratic Party recently and all the Democratic debates of, well, we want big ideas, so just add a couple of zeros onto the budget for that, and then it's magically better somehow. That seems a lot like one problem with it. And then second of all, this is maybe a separate issue, but when I hear a comprehensive program of penal reform, to me that sounds a lot like creating programs, government programs tied at rehabilitation or something. Now, I don't think that's necessarily what they intend, but the way it works,
that could be fun.
That sounds almost exclusively like what they're talking about. And who honestly wants to debate that entirely throughout the year?
Good point.
Yeah.
Good point. Yeah.
Such a limited
option. It says adopt So, like, it's a comprehensive program of penal reform should be adopted. So you can't be just, like, reforming or, like, taking away a bad law. You have to be at least replacing it. It has to – you have to impose a new law.
You know, guys, I think Department of Labor is where it's at.
Yeah.
Yep.
Facts.
So that kind of leads us to one of the last questions for tonight, which is, do we all endorse the Department of Labor res?
With much chagrin, yes.
Yeah, I definitely think that's what I'm going to vote for.
Same.
Dope. Well, wow. We are efficient. Look at that in what, like a 20-minute podcast?
Actually, we're more like
we have minutes. Summarized it all.
But hey, time,
no, 40-minute pod.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Deal. Man, if any of you guys out there have thoughts on this or some new inspiring revelations that you want to share with us, shoot us a text, email. I don't know what type of social we have out there. Do we still have our Instagram up?
We do, but I update it like once a year.
Yeah, we'll DM us on Instagram and hopefully we'll see you and respond to you. And I don't know, maybe we could have a guest speaker in the future.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, also, Steven, I don't know if you heard this or not.
You can email us.
Our guest speaker like a month ago, which was Kobe.
No way, Kobe was on here?
Yeah.
I love Kobe.
Kobe's a goat.
Yeah. Okay.
There's also the email at teampolicypodcast@gmail.com.
That too.
Send True. Us anything.
We're also working on our income right now, so if you have any donations, we'll take them happily.
We put up a Patreon.
Times are tight right now with the Rona coming over, so we'd love any money y'all have to give us.
Yeah, we accept PayPal, Bitcoin, cash, check, credit, whatever you've got, we'll take it.
We're not cash out.
Okay, guys, so that's basically a wrap. We talked about the resolutions. We all kind of agree on the Department of Labor one. One quick thing before we go, because I think a lot of you, some of the people have asked me about this already, the future of this podcast. So Steven and I obviously are graduating. I'm not sure how much our involvement will be with this in the future, but Elijah, you are not graduating and you plan on debating next year. Do you want to talk a little bit about that briefly?
Yeah, I'm going to be all up in it and I'm probably going to be hitting some, West Coast tournaments, probably several actually. Yeah, if anyone wants to become a new co-host, that would be appreciated because I'm not sure I could do this by myself.
For sure.
Talk to yourself. For
just saying, period. Elijah and Will mm-hmm. Parsons. That could be a gnarly like co-hosting mm-hmm. right there.
That could be intense. That could be a lot of memes.
That could be fun. That could be a lot of memes. All right, folks. So, for the last time tonight, I will be shining out. I guess we'll all be signing out. But I'm so glad we were able to record this. My name's Steven.
My name's Elijah.
And I'm Christian. I don't know what that was, but...
That was so bad. Can we just... All right, well, let's just end it right now.
All right, guys. Thanks for tuning in. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.